Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. And while we're turning there, if anybody else got anything to say, now's your time, and we want to give you that time. I appreciate it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I appreciate you standing up and just offering that testimony. Matthew chapter 5, and we're just going to, there's just been something that just hit me this week, and it was just a word that it's, I don't think you'll find it in the Bible. But it was the theme of it you'll find there, and I'm going to show you just different things. In fact, I was on my way in one morning. I think it was probably Thursday morning, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and I just pulled out my phone and I pulled up a little thing where I can make notes on it, because just some things came to me at a stoplight, and I didn't text while I was driving. But anyway, I think it's good for us to remember. When you talk about America, when you talk about the story of America, especially some of the older folk, you know, America, listen, I know we're deep in debt. I know there's a lot of trouble going on in this country. But America used to be a nation of very, very hardworking people that just made their way through life because God gave us freedom to make our way through life. And they did well for themselves. A lot of the older folk that you see in this church, they didn't go to college. They didn't go to the university. We have older men and older women in this church, some that just have a high school education, some not even that. And yet they were able to work their way up from literally from nothing up into the things that they have. Going to Kenya last year, they told me that their impression of Americans is that they've just been given everything. Well, that's the America now. Okay? And most Americans are being given everything. This is why they're voting the way they're voting. Okay, but it wasn't so in an earlier generation. If you didn't have, it's because you didn't do. Okay, and if you had, it's because you worked, you earned it, you were thrifty, you were all these things, all these ideas that the Bible gives to us. You had something because you worked and you earned it. That's just how it was. But you have a generation of people that, and my grandfather was of that generation, and he raised my dad that way, and so on. My dad was kind of thrifty. Mom called him cheap. He preferred thrifty. He took care of the stuff that he had. He tried to teach me and my sister to take care of the things that if we were given something, like for a birthday or Christmas, he tried to teach us to take care of those things, because he came from a time, he grew up, he was post-war, grew up in the Depression, and or right at the tail end of it, and they just didn't have a whole lot. His dad grew up on a sharecropping farm in central Arkansas, one of about 13 children in this one hat, one little bit. This wasn't like the Duggar's house. I mean, this was like Little House on the Prairie house. And there was 13 children being raised in this family. And they all had to work. And they all had to do. And they went through the hard times, and they didn't have anything. Later on in life, they had some things. But they remembered a time when they didn't have anything. They remembered a time when there just wasn't money to just go and spend. They just didn't have, they couldn't go to a restaurant. They couldn't go and buy things from a store. They just couldn't do that because it just wasn't there. If they didn't can and store up and learn how to hunt and fish and everything like that, if they didn't learn how to do that, then they'd be off. Somebody, and I'm not going to make a big deal about this, but I'm teaching my son how to do some things that my dad taught me how to do, that so far in life I've never had the necessity to do them. I've never had to live off of what I hunted and fished, and thank God I would weigh a lot less than what I weigh right now. But I'm carrying on a tradition that his father taught him, that my father taught me, that I taught my son, because who knows, in the times that my son is alive on this earth, he may survive and be able to feed his family on the things that he hunts and fishes and the things he learns how to grow out of the ground. It just may turn out to be that way again. Do you not see that? So you better see that. Okay? And I'm just, you know, just kind of making us aware of some things. But there was a time when people didn't have anything. And we call it being bankrupt. Having absolutely nothing. And God, when we were born naked. We were born in need. We were born destitute. We were born helpless. We couldn't do anything. Now, there are other creations that God has on this earth that, you know, at least when they're born, they can do some things because nobody's going to do for them. They're just talking about animals and things like that. But as far as human beings, when we're born, we are totally helpless and dependent on something else to take care of us. And I want you to think of this idea of being bankrupt. I want you to think of the idea of not being able to pay your bills, not able to have money to buy even the bare necessities of life. And now when we talk about bankruptcy, a lot of bankruptcy today is basically I need to put off paying my bills, or I need to get a court involved so that I don't have to pay my bills or whatever. And I'm not talking about that. But the Bible's idea of bankruptcy, and I'm going to kind of show you this in the Bible, stories out of the Bible. The Bible's idea of being bankrupt means that you have absolutely, totally nothing with which to go on. And if God does not intervene in your life, you're dead. I mean, literally, you will die. And I'm going to show you illustrations of that out of the Scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, do you have your Bible there? Say amen. Amen. Now, what I'm asking God to do is give me a series of 9 or 8 sermons on the Beatitudes, because I like sermon series. That way I don't have panic every week about what I'm going to preach on Sunday. So far, he hasn't given me that, and so I'm not going to say, no, this is going to be a series on the Beatitudes. What I'm going to show you is that this is the first Beatitude, and I want to show you what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." They mock and make fun of the King James like you can't understand. And how many of you have got the picture so far? When seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. I get it. I understand exactly what's going on here. I don't need it rewritten for me. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now this is called the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes or whatever. But I want you to look at what he said in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you look in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in your King James Bible, you'll see blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, and so on and so on. You'll see all these blessings that are given out. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And on and on and on and on. We use the term blessing like when somebody sneezes. What do we say? Bless you. You know why we say that? It's not in the Bible. Why do we say that, Brian? You know? Your school teacher, you need to know this. Because there is a superstition that when you sneeze, you threw your soul out. You blew your soul out. And so you needed a blessing from God to put your soul back in your body so you could go to heaven. That's what it was. That's stupid. Amen? Listen, you've already lost your soul. It's Christ who put it back at the cross. Amen? That so you can live forever. But sneezing will not do it. But that's, we use the term, well, bless you, or somebody is nice to us, or they do something courteous to us. We say, bless you. On your way out the door, if you shake my hand and you're not too mad at me that Sunday and you smile at me and say, that was a good sermon, I'll say, well, bless you. I appreciate that. And I guess down deep in my heart, I have a heart for people, and I want you to be blessed. I prayed all week. Antonio got a deer. He got 2 of them this week. By the way, that's legal. Okay? He didn't poach them. Amen? Okay? I prayed for him all week. God would let him get a deer. He got 2 of them. I want him to be blessed. He's married to my daughter. Amen? I want that man to be happy and feed her well. Amen? Okay? So anyway, so I want my son-in-law and my daughter to be blessed. I want them to have things. I want Steve and Courtney to, if you want any deer meat, just come see me. All right. We made breakfast sausage yesterday. It's good. We made bratwurst out of it yesterday. It's okay. It's not like what we think, but it's still pretty good. And we're still going. I don't mind you having it, because you know what? I like to see a little smile on their face. I want them to be happy with the old man here. Amen. Okay, now don't everybody come up to me asking me for deer sausage. I ain't got enough to go around. But I want you happy and I want you blessed. And we usually use that term, blessing. Well, bless you and I hope you're blessed in this. And what we mean is we want their way to be prosperous. And that is the Christian way that we're saying. But let me give you the Bible definition of the word bless. Blessing, and I've said this before, blessing is a salvation term. And I want to tell you something. You can have the cattle on 1,000 hills. You could have all the money that Bill Gates has got or whoever. You could have wealth. You could have houses. You could have food. You could have a good job. You could have all these things, and you could be happy with your wife. You could be happy with your children. You could be happy at home. You could be happy at your job. Be happy with everything in the world and die lost and go to hell, and you've not been blessed. Real blessing is not having the material things of this world, even the ability to eat a daily provision worth of things. That's not real blessing, because those are temporal things that will fade away with time. Real, genuine blessing is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is having the hope that you will live forever and never perish. Now I'm going to show you that. I want you to take your Bible. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to go to two places in Psalms, and I'm going to show you what the definition of the word blessed means. Psalm chapter 1, and then we're going to go to Psalm 32. And if you already know what those passages in the Bible talk about, then you know where I'm going. And isn't that great? See, if you know the Bible, you know where the preacher's going. Amen? So I'm going to tell you Psalm 1, Psalm 32, so you can say, you know what? You know, it says here and this, and it says this here. I think I got it. All right? Psalm chapter 1. Notice the very first psalm, very first word out of the Bible, blessed. Blessed is the man. Now watch this now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that's a good phrase there. If you don't hang around stupid people, you won't act stupid. Somebody say amen. Okay? If you don't act around profane people and vain people, then you won't act that way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that did not stand in the way of sinners. Roy, if you don't hang out at the bar, you won't be a bar hound. Amen? Amen. So you know what Roy had to stop doing? Roy had to stop hanging out at bars. Roy had stopped going to those places. Roy had stopped going to 905 Liquor Store. Roy had to quit going to the halls and everything like that where they serve alcohol. He had to quit going there. And in a way, now that he's without alcohol, his life is blessed better than it was before. Can I get an amen out of somebody? I mean, just this Bible just has common sense stuff for us to do. If you're being plagued by sin, get around the people that are sick with it. Or get away from the people that are sick with it. I said that right. All right. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there's three things here. Number one, if you want to be blessed, remember, blessed means to be saved and have eternal life. And I'll show you that in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That idea of his leaf not withering shows you the eternality of life. It's a tree that never dies. It's a tree that never goes through a dormant cycle in wintertime. It's a tree that is planted by rivers of what kind of water? Living water. And that tree is established and it's rooted and it stays alive and it never fades. That is a picture of eternal. Did you know when you go read in book Revelation, read Revelation 21, 22 and so on, you'll see a tree. It's a tree of life. That's that tree that is talking about. And so blessing is related to the idea of eternal life. So I would ask you this morning, how many of you want to live in heaven forever? Would you say amen or raise your hand or nod your head or at least go, all right? So everybody in here wants to go to heaven. Amen? Now I can say, how many of you want to live forever in hell? Don't want to do that. I don't want to be dead and suffering eternally in hell. I want to live forever and go to heaven. Well, that's what this blessing is. It is promised to you that you can have eternal life, that you can live forever and not ever have what the Bible calls the second death. Everybody's going to die the first death. You understand that, right? Who wants to live inside this body? Amen. Joe was talking about his back hurting today. Mine's hurting today. My feet are hurting today. Yesterday, last night, I hurt so bad. My joints ached so bad. I was miserable. God, I don't want this body forever. I want a new one. So I'll shed off this old one here and take the new one. So blessing is a picture of eternal life. Now, if you look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, there are three conditions that somebody can have eternal life. Is that number one? Well, number one, you never walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Strike one. Because you have. You have. You've listened to somebody tell you something that wasn't true and you believed it. You believed in a religious philosophy that said, I'll get to heaven by my works, or I'll get to heaven through this religion, or I'll get to heaven that way, or I believe I can do whatever I want to do, and I'll just give money to charity before it's all in, and God will accept that, and I'll have life in heaven. That is not eternal life, and that's not what's guaranteed here. The conditions here in Psalm chapter 1 is that you never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Raise your hand if you know that you have been there, done that. The second condition, number two, nor stood in the way of sin. Have you ever been in a place where there was sin going on? Have you ever been in a place where sin is sold? Have you ever been in a place or been around sinners all the time, standing in the way of sinners? Strike two, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Have you ever declined from reading your Bible? Have you ever declined from praying? Have you ever said, well, I don't feel very Christian today. I don't act that way. Or I don't like that preacher. Or I don't like that Bible. And I don't like the sermon. Or I don't like this or that and the other. You sat in the seat of the scornful. You strike three, you're out. Did you know that there's only been one person in all of human history who has qualified under these conditions to be blessed? Who is that? Jesus Christ. He never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. If he had, he would have not gone to Calvary. He never stood in the way of sinners, although he ate with sinners and publicans. Why? Because he wanted them saved. He wanted them to have eternal life. But he never did what they did. And number three, he never sat in the seat of the scornful. His heart and his mind, and he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and drops of sweat and blood are coming out of his head. And he said, Lord, God, Father, I don't want to do this, but nevertheless, let not my will, but thine be done. He wasn't scorning God on his plan of salvation. He said, God, I embrace it. Take me to the cross, I'm yours. Christ did it without violation his whole life. And he is blessed. Christ is blessed forevermore. Somebody said, you believe that? Say amen. Yeah. So what about us? What are the conditions for you and I to have that same blessing forevermore? Psalm 32. Did you get where I was going with this, Brady? Okay, good. You're a good guy. Psalm 32. I remember I was down in Tampa, Florida. Mike Hutzel preached this, and I thought I was going to have a hoop and hollering spell because I started counting things. There's four things. There's four gospels. Now watch this. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Amen. Number two, blessed is he whose sin is covered. What's it covered with? Can it be covered with the apron that Adam and Eve made for themselves to cover their own nakedness? No, it was insufficient. It had to be covered. They had to be clothed by God himself. And I want to tell you something, your good deeds and your act and all the money you give to charity and all, how you were nice to somebody one day and you opened the door for a lady and all the things that we prop up in our minds of how we're going to merit God's eternal salvation, how we're going to merit eternal life, all the stupid things that we prop up in our mind that we're going to do are insufficient. You cannot cover your own transgression. You cannot cover your own sin. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll creep up. It'll expose you for who you are. When Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked. They were exposed. They were shamed in front of Almighty God. And here was just them two and God in that they knew to cover themselves because their sin had left a mark of shame on their life. Is there something in your life that you don't want me to preach on? Is there something that you've done that you don't want me to go around telling everybody and blabbing everybody what you did? You want me to post it on Facebook? No, no, no. You're ashamed of it. You're embarrassed of it. It has caused you grief and sorrow. And when it's brought up, you don't raise your head and say, boy, those were the good old days. You put your head down and go, God, why did I do that? And you ought to be thankful that you can have your transgression covered. What's it covered with? The blood. It's blotted out by the blood. When you go stand before God, And I can tell you, I'm not even going to get to what I was going to preach on this morning. When you stand, did you know that in heaven? In fact, let me put it on this term. So let's get conspiratorial for a minute. All right. Did you know that every cell phone call that you make right now in America is recorded on an NSA, National Security Administration, computer? How many of you know that? This didn't come from Alex Jones. This comes from news reports out of our own government. Do you know that every email that you sent, recorded? Do you know that every message sent on Facebook was recorded and put away somewhere and analyzed? Do you know that everything you type in at Google is databased, because Google wants to know who you are, because they sell advertising targeted directly to you? Now, I kid you not, you can start sweating and be nervous if you want to. A guy was complaining on Facebook because he said, I'm sick and tired of these ads for homosexual websites showing up on my Facebook page. And a guy wrote to him and said, you dummy, Facebook records what you've been looking at on your computer and targets you for advertising based upon what they know you like. Boop. That's a lot of knowledge. These cameras up on these light poles out here, you know what they're doing? They're just watching you as you go by. And a computer, the software exists now where the computer can track your car from here to there to there. And if all you did was go from here to Walmart and back, doesn't bother me. But if you went along the side to meet your mistress somewhere, or you stopped off at the liquor store to get a drink, somebody knows it. And we don't like that kind of knowledge, because we like to do things that are wrong. We like to think and say things that are wrong. We like to do things that are wrong and hope that nobody finds out about it. Well, welcome to the 21st century. But God's been doing this now for thousands of years. And in heaven, there is a book of everything that you said and everything that you did. Every transgression that you committed was written in a book. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Anybody ever been to court? You don't have to raise your hand. I've told this on myself, so I'll tell it again. God opened my eyes one day because I got a ticket in Hillsboro that they wouldn't let me pay. You know why they wouldn't let me pay it? I was going way too fast over the speed limit. And I called and I said, well, how much is it? And they said, you have to show up and appear before court. Whew. Reverend Hoggard has to go to court. And I went to court, Jim, and I'm sitting there, and God's saying, now, Mike, you watch this now. And the book of Revelation is unfolding in my mind, because there is an accuser there with a book, and she opens that book, and the judge says, next, and they call out the name of the accused, and a book is opened, and she's got the charges. Did you know that they've never charged anybody with anything that wasn't already in the law books? I never heard the prosecutor there in the city of Hillsboro read that and say, Judge, they're ugly. We think they should be penalized for it. Okay? Well, I don't like how they did their hair that day. There's nothing in the law about that. So they read the name, Michael Hoggard. And I stood up. And they said, what has he done? Going, I think, what was it, 55 and a 25? Don't. Wow. For all have sinned and come short. I'm sorry. Amen. And hey, unless you start snubbing your nose at me, when you went 26 into 25, you violated the law. Amen. It's the law. If a man offends the law in one what? Point. He's guilty of all. And so there's a transgression there. There was a transgression laid there. And what I wanted to do was I wanted that transgression covered up. I'm sure General Petraeus wanted his transgressions covered up. There's things going on in this Benghazi deal that the White House is covering up. I want to tell you something. We've got immoral people running this country. We have no morality and shame whatsoever. They do what they want to. This, by the way, this has been going on way before Barack Obama, so you can just get off your high horse. Amen? Amen. But I'm telling you, we have done things, you and I, and we have wanted those transgressions covered. We've wanted them hidden, buried. Family secrets that we're not going to talk about anymore. I told this story, a lady, she used to sit here. We called her Tommy because she was kind of tomboy. She was an older woman, and she was not a queer, but she was just an older woman. She had a daughter and things like that, and she came to church every. We loved her to death, and her and Bonnie used to sing all the time, and she ended up with colon cancer, and I was with her the last week of her life. We was over there every day just while she was dying, and I remember at some point she confided, and she had to tell her daughter hours before her death that her daughter's father was her grandfather. Talking about family secrets? Things that we want left buried for years. Things that we don't want anybody dug up anymore. Things about us that we're glad they're in the past and down the stream of remembrance. Things that we don't want people saying about us anymore. And we would do anything to have them covered up. We would pay, if we had it, large sums of money to cover them up. We've tried to cover them up ourselves. It won't work. We've tried to do things to just act like, but the truth of it is, it's still there and it's still written down. And I'll tell you what happens when you're born again. When God looks at your book, he sees his son's blood blotting out those transgressions. And they are gone forever. Now, I want to tell you something. God would be an unjust God if he said, I forgive you, and then went back and unforgave you. He would be an unjust God. So watch this. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered, whose sin is, or transgressions are, is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is there guile in your mind? Who in here? You're born again, right? Born again. Trusting Jesus for your eternal life. Have you ever been crafty in how you thought about things or how you were going to deal with people since you've been saved? Has that ever happened to you, Sterling? There's guile in this man's mind. There is no guile in his spirit. There's the difference. And then it says, verse 2, blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. What that means is it's a judicial terminology that basically says this. If I would have went to court on that ticket and would have showed up in front of the judge and they said, open the book. And they opened the book and it either had been taken out and been taken care of or taken away somehow. Or the judge said, you know what, he's done it, but I'm not going to lay charges to him, and in time, this will all go away, and it'll be as if he never did it. By the way, that's what happened with my ticket. The judge took the circumstances that I was in and said, I'm going to give you a one-year suspension and sentence. If you don't get any more tickets in Hillsboro, it'll be as if this will be wiped away, it'll be as if it never done. There's no record now of that happening. Because of what the judge did. He had mercy on me. And I pled guilty to it. Why could I? Why should I not? I did it. And the judge took that away. That was his right under the law to take that away. And it was all taken care of. And it's as if it had never happened. That's what justification is, by the way. It's as if it had never happened. You did it. You said it. You looked at it. You whatever it was, you did it. and you would expect there to be the record of it in heaven. But because God will not impute the iniquity to you, there is now no charge. Romans 8 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned and will not be and cannot be condemned because of the transgressions that you have done. I'd say that's blessed. When I walked out of that courtroom that night and my wife said, you're paying for it, bud. And I had my money saved up. And when I walked out of that courtroom expecting to pay through the nose for this ticket, walking out of there only having to pay a $25 court fee, because there's always a little consequence, amen? I walked out of there and said, honey, kids, let's go to Dairy Queen. Woo! We had us a time eating ice cream. You know why? Because the record was expunged. There was no iniquity. It was not imputed to me. It was not against me anymore. The judge had mercy and he took care of it. And I was blessed that night. And I shared the blessing with my family. We eat ice cream. That's you. If you really want that blessing. So when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you go read down that list. You want to be blessed? Because you cannot qualify under Psalm 1, you must then qualify under Psalm 32. Have your sins forgiven. Have your transgressions covered. Have your iniquity not imputed against you. Having God even taken the guile out of your spirit. There is now therefore no condemnation. Your conscience now is clear. Even though you did it, the Holy Ghost has cleared your conscience and you remember it no more and say, you know what? I know I did that, but God doesn't remember and it's never going to be held against me ever again. That's blessing. Listen, I'd give away all the pizzas in the world and all the Chinese food and all the McDonald's food in the world. I'd give up every bit of that stuff if I could just get that way, but you can't. Now, I'll tell you something, boy, it's really hard to get that. I mean, it is so super difficult to get that kind of blessing in your life, isn't it? No. You just get on your face for an almighty, good, and holy God and adjust God and say, God, I'm not going to lie to you. I did it. God, I'm coming to you and I am not going to cop a plea. I'm not going to plead not guilty because I got me a good slick lawyer. I'm not going to be an O.J. Simpson. Amen. Or a Bill Clinton. I'm not going to be that way. God, I come to you. I'm guilty. I did it. And I have shame on me, God. God, would you forgive my transgressions? Would you pardon my iniquity? Let the blood, the precious, precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the mercy seat of your throne be a reminder to you that my transgressions are hidden now in Christ. Lord, I know that Christ paid the penalty. Jared, if you get a ticket, did you know that I could go and pay that for you? There ain't a law against it, is there? They don't care who pays it. And if I paid your ticket, and then the prosecutor come back 6 months later and said, whoa, 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 what's this here? Well, you know, so-and-so paid his fine for him. Uh-uh. We wanted him to pay the fine. They cannot come back after you now. It's called double jeopardy. We wouldn't allow that in an earthly courtroom, and it's not allowed in God's courtroom. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I'm saying to you today, if you want blessings, all of us, I mean, look at us, Jim. Look at us. Yeah. We've had food, and we're fixing to go down and do it again. It'll go away one of these days. We're going to get to an age, Jim, listen now, you and I is going to get to an age where we're going to be laying in a bed and they're going to be begging us to eat. Mm-hmm. And because of the diseases of the body ravaging us, we won't feel like eating. We'll just pine away. Yep. That'll all go away one of these days. Amen. But the blessing that I've got waiting for me at the gates of heaven are the eternal life blessings that if I lost everything in this world, and one day in my mind I had, I knew, Gary, that I still had eternal life. You know that you still have eternal life. That's the kind of blessings you need. And if you already have that blessing, how dare you go through a service like this and not tell God thank you? And next Sunday, I want to preach on the bankruptcy issue. And I want you to, lest we get puffed up, just like I was talking about Sunday school. I'm going to save that for next Sunday. But today, if God's blessed you with eternal life, you tell him thank you.
Amen.
And if God, if you have not received that yet, it's simply because you didn't ask yet. We don't do church rituals here to save you. We don't sprinkle holy water on you, and we don't say, well, now bow three times and now come up here and fill out this or have counseling with the pastor. We don't do that. If you'd like to receive eternal life, you'd like to have those blessings on your life, have every one of your sins forgiven and never remembered again, ask. Ask the one who can give it to you. Ask your Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you bow your head? Alicia, would you come and just play a verse or two of whatever the Lord lays on your heart? And I'm going to ask you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, I'm not going to do a raising of hands or anything like that this morning, but I'm just going to simply ask you, just out of the honesty of your heart, if you're here today and you don't know, you think maybe there's still some things on God's record book that have not been covered up. And if there's, I want to tell you something, if there's one thing against you up there, you're sunk. That's God's standard. If there's one sin, which we all know we've done a lot more than that, but if you have not had your iniquities covered and your transgressions hidden, if you've not had that, I'd ask him. It's as simple as that. Ask him. Or maybe today you've just been feeling it all week. The devil's been walking all over you. You know that you're not any good. You haven't been very good this week. You can either come down here or do it where you are. I don't care where you do it. You just have a little Thanksgiving feast between you and God, a little Thanksgiving time. God, I'm as sorry low down as they come. I look good on the outside. I look like a Mr. or Miss Christian on the outside. But God, you know where I've been, and you know what I've said and done and thought this week. God, there's no hiding it from you. God, I'm sorry. But I want to tell you, thank you, that there is always forgiveness with you. I want to tell you that. Thank you. There is always forgiveness with you. Thank you, God, for being my God. You spend some time. We're going to pray. Alicia's going to play. If God leads you to come down here, then come. If not, you stay right where you are. But get some things settled this morning. Tell God thank you, all right? Heavenly Father, I just give you this time, Lord, it's your time. I ask you, God, Lord, to lead this morning in how you move in hearts. Lord, I know I preached a sermon one way. Lord, there's no end as to how your spirit can move in someone's heart. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would just bless your word that's gone to the hearts of these people. Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, that is lost and dying, and they're on their way to hell, Lord, they need to know, God, they can have their sins forgiven. Lord, would you do that today? Lord, would you remind those of us, Lord, that are saved? Lord, would you remind us, God, just how blessed we really are? Remind us, dear God, on those days, Lord, when we think we want something in this world. Oh, I got to have that. Oh, I want that. Or that would be nice. Lord, remind us, Lord, that even if we did without, we still have nothing to complain about. Let this day be a day of thanksgiving and praise to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Alicia's going to play a verse of invitation. If God's dealing with you and you want to come down here, then by all means do that. You come and present yourself before God this morning. If you'd like to be saved, we'll show you how. It's very simple. If you just want to tell God thank you for what he's done, then you do that, all right? All of God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm assuming now that when we get down there that dinner will be ready. Okay? And all those ladies standing down there that got up a while ago and went down there to take care of you, tell them thank you. Amen. You be nice to them. And if they slap your hand for taking too much turkey, then you say, yes, ma'am. Okay? Huh? Or deviled eggs. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and have the Thanksgiving prayer this morning. Again, we thank you for coming, and please feel free to fellowship with us, all right? But let's give God all the praise and glory and honor His name and tell God thank you for all that He has provisioned you with, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for my salvation. Lord, it means more to me than anything in this world ever has. And I love the things, Lord, you bless me with in this world. I love my wife and my family and my church and, Lord, just the work and the labor that you've given me. And I love the things around me. But, Father, Lord, I love Jesus. I love that salvation. I love His mercy, Lord, more than anything. And, God, I could live the rest of my life without a new coat or not without a new pair of shoes. Or, Lord, God forbid that I would ever lose my family. But God, I don't want to live a day. I couldn't live a day, Lord, without your mercy and your grace and your salvation. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that I have down here. Thank you, Lord, for this good food that you've provided for us, God. You've opened your hand wide and given provision for your people. Lord, help us to not take it for granted. Help us, Lord, to know, Father, that you've blessed us. Help us to teach it to our children likewise, God, so that they will know. And Lord, should some great evil ever befall our land, Lord, would you watch out for your people and open your hand wide once again. And Lord, cause us to be fed. Protect us, Lord, and keep us. We thank you, dear God, for this good food and for your love. We love you back, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, and it's in His name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation, and some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.